Since the 30 minutes was almost used up, it was time to leave. The great amount of destruction was devastating. Remember, nothing is ever as bad as it seems. The death of Sempjes. At the center there is a hallway off of the kitchen that leads to a large bathroom, shower for those working at the farm. On the wall is a color drawing of Sempjes walking away from her ship to meet Billy. It's not a real picture, but a beautiful lifelike representation created by artist Jim Nicol. I stop to look at it every day, and let my mind ruminate a little on what it would have been like to have been there. To Billy it is a very important picture, for it reminds him of the lady from the Pleiades who had such an impact on his life. He had spent almost 2 years of his life meeting with her and working out the problems of getting the Pleiadian message out to the public. I had heard several rumors that she had died or was killed as her ship flew into a sun. Something has happened that caused the Pleiadians to end the contacts, and I was curious to know if Billy felt like talking about it. When I brought it up, he told me the whole sad story of how one small, accidental event had changed the course of events of the Pleiadian mission. The story of Sempjes. Billy said that his contacts with Sempjes had started in January of 1975, and that they had continued almost weekly for about 2 years. Most of these meetings with the off-world visitor had been inside of her beam ship hovering somewhere in the Swiss mountains. On their 94th contact, however, she had come to Billy's home for a meeting that would have significant impact on future events for both of them. It was December 15, 1977 on a cold, snowy night, and Billy was entertaining Sempjes in the meditation room, located just about 30 meters from the main farmhouse. The family and resident FIGU members were all gathered around the kitchen table discussing how exciting it was that Sempjes was so close by. Perhaps they might even be lucky enough to see her leaving, or better yet, maybe there would be a chance to meet her. After all, she had allowed most of them to see her ship on one occasion or another, so the idea of meeting her at last didn't seem too far-fetched. Hanging on the wall was their schedule for meditation, which listed the names of all the members. But no one would be using the meditation room tonight. Jacobus was sitting quietly, keeping his thoughts to himself. Billy had told all of them that Sempjes was coming tonight and to stay clear of the meditation room so as to not make her uncomfortable. Her senses were quite good and she would probably be able to detect anyone nosing around the little building. Her beam ship was hovering somewhere directly above the center, shielded from view by the energy screens. Jacobus couldn't help wondering what she really looked like in person. Billy had, of course, described her to everyone. He had even taken a picture of her once, but as forced to promise Sempjes that he would not show it to anyone. Jacobus was just thinking to himself, what's the big deal, what harm could it cause to just peek through the window and have a look? He wasn't thinking of barging in or anything. He just wanted to see the mysterious lady from the Pleiades. The meditation room was very comfortable, as you might imagine from its name. It was an important place on the farm because it was the center for all of the FIGU members to meet in. It had become a monument to the rising consciousness of this little group as they studied the lessons given to them by Sempjes. Most all of them had participated in the building of the room and could imagine just where she would probably be sitting. Right next to the little space heater which warmed the bone-chilling cold Swiss air. It was a real honor that tonight the meditation room was being visited by the very person who had inspired it. Her being there somehow gave them all a feeling of approval and acceptance. Inside of the meditation room Billy and Sempjes were very comfortably seated. Billy was listening intently. Sempjes had met him here on some matter of importance that couldn't wait. She was just about to tell Bill the purpose of her visit when suddenly she stopped, held very still, and looked around as if something was wrong. She thought she heard someone knock on the door, and she asked Billy if he heard anything. Billy cocked his ear and tried to listen for what she had heard, but could detect nothing. He remarked that she must be mistaken, but Sempjes said she was sure someone was at the door, and she rose to leave. As she stood up and moved away from her chair, She accidentally caught her foot on the table leg and tripped over the small space heater sitting on the floor. Billy quickly turned around in time to see her fall and hit her head against the wall, just as her hand had pressed the small apparatus around her waist that caused her to dematerialize and return to her ship. Billy was disturbed by this, and being left alone in the room, he moved to the door to see if someone was actually there. Sam Jays had seemed so sure of herself, but he had heard nothing. But there he was. Jacobus was hiding just outside the door in hopes of catching a glimpse of the Star Lady. Billy was very upset with Jacobus because he had embarrassed himself and ruined the meeting. Jacobus said he was sorry, he only wanted to have a look, he didn't mean any harm. He had hoped no one would detect him, and he could just steal his look and be gone. But instead, Sam Jays was gone. It wasn't until 2 days later that Billy was visited by a worried-looking Quetzal, the base commander for the underground complex in Switzerland. His pale lime-white expression caused Billy to inquire about his health. But it wasn't his health that was on his mind. He asked Billy to explain what had happened on the evening of the 15th, when Sam Jays had been present in the meditation room. The manner of his speech and his attitude gave Billy a little start. Something was wrong, he was sure of it. For 2 days the whole affair it had bothered him. He was concerned about Jacobus messing things up, and then there was the nagging feeling that something might be wrong with Sam Jays. He had seen her hit her head on the wall. But then she still dematerialized and returned to her ship. Billy did the best he could to recount the evening to Quetzal. He told him how Jacobus had hidden outside the door, hoping to see Sam Jays, and that she had become alarmed and left the room. As he was explaining how he had seen her hit her head against the wall, a sudden wave of anxiety came over him because now he knew why Quetzal had such a sick look on his face. Sam Jays must have been hurt much worse than he had thought. This would explain why he hadn't heard from her for 2 days after leaving so quickly. She had come to talk about something important. It only made sense that she would have contacted him soon afterward. Quetzal had been waiting for Sam Jays to return to the base 2 nights ago, for he knew she was having a meeting with Billy in the meditation room. He was the base commander and watched over Sam Jays like she was his own child. When she didn't come back or send a message, he had gone looking for her, only to discover her lying in her ship, which was still hovering undetected above the farm. She had a broken arm and a heavy fracture at the base of her skull. She was in a coma and close to death. Quetzal immediately transported her body into his ship and took off for their home planet of Era for medical attention. She had been lying in her ship for hours with serious brain damage, and was still 7 hours away from help on her home planet in the Pleiades. Upon arriving on Era, Sam Jays was taken directly to their scientists who, unfortunately, could do nothing. There was too much damage to the brain, and she had been without medical help for many hours. They had done their best to take out the damaged brain tissue, but were powerless to do any more. Once her situation had been stabilized, Sam Jays was frozen. Her father Tad made a desperate call to their friend, Askit, who was the representative for a highly evolved race of beings called Timers, who were from a neighboring universe the Pleiadians referred to as the Dull Universe. Technically, they were far more advanced than the Pleiadians, and might have a way of saving her that was beyond the science of Era. It was soon discovered that Askit and her people could not do anything either, but encouraged everyone to not give up. They had an idea that might work to save Sam Jays's life. There was a race of people called Sonas, who had an understanding of life far beyond Askit's people. If they could somehow get in touch with them, perhaps they could come to her aid. Askit was successful and within a short time, several beings called Sonas suddenly appeared in the medical room on Era where Sam Jays's body lay. They had not traveled by ship, but just seemed to appear, as if they had projected themselves across the far reaches of a universe by the sheer power of their own minds. Their medical methods were unusual, to say the least, for they offered no explanations and set to work immediately, needing no help from the scientists of Era. After making sure the dead parts of Samjaz's brain had been removed, they took the frozen brain acids from her body and inserted it into some kind of artificially produced plasma proton that they had brought with them. This was put inside of her skull, which was then closed up. Within minutes, Samjaz returned to consciousness with no memory of the last 42 hours or of what had happened to her. She simply opened her eyes and brought a sigh of relief to everyone in the room, and the life force raced through her body and let everyone know that she was going to be all right. Samjaz was back from the dead, and the men from Sona disappeared as quietly as they'd come, returning to their home world somewhere far off in another universe. It was a week, a very long week for Billy, before he once again heard from Quetzal. He had been informed by the Pleiadians that Samjaz was dead, but he somehow wasn't going to feel comfortable until he heard it from Quetzal. He waited patiently at the location that he had been led to by the telepathic impulses from Quetzal, and watched for the familiar silver disc that would soon dash out of the sky. Soon he noticed the birds begin to rustle in the trees and take flight, and within a few moments his old friend from the Pleiades had arrived. It was sort of like a family reunion. Quetzal quickly reassured Billy that Samjaz was well. He apologized for taking a whole week to make it back to Earth, but he was delayed from the many things that he had to do in consequence of Samjaz's accident. One of these was the replacement for Samjaz at the base in Switzerland. This would be a man named Izados, who would be here for about 6 or 7 months helping out. He was unfamiliar with Earth and with the work that Samjaz was doing with Billy, so it had been decided that Billy would not have any contacts with him and that he, Quetzal, and two ladies named Mainara and Plea would continue on with the task of instructing Billy until such time as Samjaz might again be ready to take up her duties. This change would cause some problems for Billy, for he had been working with Samjaz on several problems concerning certain members of the group. This would now come to a halt because Quetzal had no knowledge of these things. Billy was even more let down to find out that when Samjaz did return, she probably would not be able to resume all her duties, for part of her recovery was to take it easy and not challenge her brain too much. She would need some time for the implanted plasma to heal the brain, and she was to rest and relax as much as possible. It had been decided that she should not engage in any work that would be too mentally challenging. Even though the Sonians were very advanced, the transformation of the artificial protoplasm would take 3 or 4 years before it would become a natural part of her brain. The brain is the central steering of the human, and because of this, the brain needs attendance and a special energy supply. This energy supply is the cosmic electrical energy of life that nourishes and feeds the brain material as well as the spirit. It should be made clear that this life force provides nourishment, but no impulses for healing or regeneration. Because of this, if the brain becomes sick or hurt, it is not capable of regenerating or healing itself. Samjaz's brain now contained the artificial plasma put there by the Sonians, which restored the use of her brain and allowed the life force to flow once again through her. Part of the programming of this artificial plasma was to heal the brain by transforming the plasma into real brain matter that will be accepted by the cosmic electrical life force, becoming part of her natural brain material within 3 to 4 years before the body rejects the foreign material. A rather amazing feat of engineering indeed. Until this tragic event, the Pleiadians had no knowledge of the existence of the Sonians, so little was known except these few details which they had learned in the past few days. The Sonians are from the Dull universe, which is adjacent to our universe. Their average lifespan is around 2,360 years. They grow to be about 68 inches tall and have skulls approximately 50% greater in size than our own. The name Sonas comes from some language which was completely unknown, and their spiritual development is 4,000 years in advance of the Pleiadians. Their knowledge of time and space was quite impressive, too, for they were able to project themselves through the universe without the need of flight machines, utilizing only the force of their minds. This really impressed Quetzal, for this was far beyond anything the Pleiadians were capable of. The recent demonstration of the Sonian's ability to control the flow of the cosmic life force and to heal Samjaze's brain brought up the idea that they might be able to live forever, but even though this may be possible or several thousand years, at some point the material body can last no longer and gives up. The spirit will run out of energy and go to sleep, causing the individual to fall into the death cycle. It is a natural part of the creational logic, dictating that the spirit must have its sleep at some point in order to regain its energy and cogitate what it has experienced throughout the material life, adding those experiences to the accumulated wisdom that will be carried forward to the next life. It is unnatural for man to tamper with its process beyond a certain point. The prognosis for Samjaze looked good. She was told to stay home for a few months and rest her mind and not engage in new mental challenges. Her brain would need time to heal, and it would not be good for her to endure any undue stress or anxiety for a while. Consequently, she would not be able to continue her contacts with Billy on Earth. This was very sad news for Billy, for he had developed very close feelings for Samjaze over the years, and felt responsible for her accident because of Jacobus. He had been trying so hard to control all of the egos, jealousy, and petty arguments that were continually going on among the FIGU members. Moreover, he also was a father, contactee, and prophet. But many of the members were very headstrong and difficult to deal with. The stress on Billy was becoming too much for him, and it showed in his health. He was losing too much sleep and letting himself get run down. Is it time to stop the contact? The Pleiadian Council had been watching Billy very closely and could see that he was having a lot of leadership problems with the FIGU members that were affecting the mission. Now that Samjaze would not be able to continue the contacts, they were very concerned that it could be time to stop them. They instructed Quetzal to have a meeting with Billy to explain the situation. It was very difficult for Quetzal to tell Billy that it may be time to stop the contacts. He had grown very fond of him and could tell by the look on Billy's face that he was hurt. He knew he would miss Billy, and there was the problem of the Pleiadian mission. The Pleiadians had hoped that through educating Billy and making their presence known to the public through the photos he had taken that they could help change Earth's future to a more peaceful and happy outcome. The dark times that would come around the turn of this century could be avoided if mass consciousness could be affected in the right way, and they were putting their hopes in Billy. Now it seemed that most of their work may have been for nothing, for Billy had not made the contact notes easily accessible to the public. In addition, he had not followed through with his promise to give more public speeches as he had been asked, and several of the FIGU members had become such a problem that they were jeopardizing the mission. Things were not working out as well as they hoped, and with Samjaze out of the picture, the prospects for the future did not look very good. As Quetzal continued to explain the Pleiadians' viewpoint, Billy agreed that certain members of the FIGU who were angry and jealous would have to go. Quetzal would help Billy by monitoring the thoughts of these individuals in order to help him better understand them. Billy agreed to cut back on his work and take care of his health and delegate more responsibility to others. The contacts would continue for a while with Quetzal until Tiny found out if Samjaze could return. For the next couple of months things seemed to be going well. Quetzal had made suggestions to Billy to ask certain people to leave the FIGU and to change his own work habits. The Pleiadian Council went along with Quetzal and left the decision up to him for a while, but they made it clear that if the FIGU could not get their egos in line, the contacts must stop. For Billy and Quetzal things were developing nicely. The relationship between the two had developed into a good friendship, and Quetzal had taken time for several contacts which were very beneficial to Billy. His easygoing manner and rather obvious intellect were proving to be a great stimulator for Billy. But not everything was going well. The council back on Era had been monitoring the thoughts of the FIGU members and found that instead of getting better, the attitudes were deteriorating and becoming even more harmful to the Pleiadian mission. Billy seemed to be lacking in leadership abilities, and some of the people in the FIGU had become so emotionally unbalanced that they served no purpose to the mission, and were becoming destructive to themselves. It was on Monday, April 10, 1978, When Quetzal informed Billy that the group was failing and future contacts would be limited to telepathic transmissions to Billy only, the FIGU was on probation. If they could not get their thinking straightened out, the group would have to be dissolved and could no longer take part in the mission. Reunited with Semjays. It was only a few weeks later on May 20, 1978 that Billy felt the familiar presence of Semjays in his thoughts. She and Claire, her sister, were coming to see Billy. She was feeling better and wanted to see her old friend whom she missed so much. Billy quickly dropped what he was doing and raced out of the house to meet her. She led him to a remote spot not far away and picked him up into the ship. Billy was flushed with excitement as he saw her again. He had really missed her. But here she was, just as before, with that pretty face and long, red hair and that gentle manner that always made Billy feel so comfortable and loved. She was back and seemed healthy. He was hoping she would never leave. Semjays gave Billy a hug that seemed to last forever. It had been 5 months since they had seen each other, and they were making up for it all at once. Billy suddenly noticed Blair was there and broke up the hug to say hello. He had not seen her for over a year, when he taught her how to ride his moped one afternoon in the forest. Everyone was happy and smiling and remarking how nice it was to see each other again. It was a great reunion for all of them. Semjays had been recuperating for months and seemed healthy enough. The Sonians and their technology had seemed to work wonders. Her brain was slowly repairing itself, and while she had trouble remembering some things, she seemed pretty much herself. Life at home had been very calming for her and had given her plenty of time to relax and catch up on her home life. She had spoken with the Palladian Council about Billy and the group before coming here, for they were concerned about her ability to return to work. Unfortunately, she had to inform them that she would not be able to continue with the contacts or her other work. The doctors had informed her that her brain was healing slower than anticipated, and she should continue to take it easy. Billy was sad to hear this because he was hoping that she would be able to resume their contacts. Although he was really finding a helpful friend in Quetzal, he certainly missed her. Once the council was told that Semjays would not be able to continue, they had consulted with Quetzal about the progress of the FIGU members, and were told that things were getting worse. Several of them were openly trying to cause Billy trouble. They were making up untrue stories about Billy to hurt his feelings and causing other problems that rendered the group dysfunctional. None of the FIGU members were taking the spiritual teachings seriously and were questioning Billy's authority so much that he had no control anymore. It had been decided that the group was on probation for 7 months. They would have to take their commitment of personal development more seriously and work to help Billy, or they would no longer be allowed to help him with the mission. Quetzal would continue having contacts with Billy, but the contact notes he would write would no longer be available to the members. Billy had to agree, things were beyond him. He was very worried about the state of affairs. He had tried his best to help everyone get along, but there were some pretty headstrong people in the FIGU, and the seriousness of the pressure that was on them to help with the contacts and to be responsible for getting the Palladian information out to the world was proving to be too much for some of them. They had developed elitist attitudes, believing that they were better than other people, and fought among themselves like cats and dogs. The rivalry over self-importance was bringing the whole group down, and the Palladians would have no more of it. The mission to help the people of Earth through the understanding of higher consciousness could not be accomplished by this kind of thinking. Breakdown. The following weeks were very difficult for Billy. He couldn't sleep or get any work done. There was so much pressure on him from everyone around him that he was unable to think straight. He was beginning to feel like he had failed the planet Earth. In his mind, he was responsible for the future of Earth, and he was letting everyone down. He had tried so hard to perform his mission as well as he could, but things were out of control. He did not possess the leadership qualities to control the FIGU, and the pressure he felt to keep the contacts going was too much for him. It was on Monday, July 17, 1978, while on his way to meet Quetzal for a contact, that Billy's health failed him. He was in the forest waiting for Quetzal to meet him when suddenly he collapsed and fell to the ground. His health had given out, and he was having a nervous breakdown. He blanked out, losing consciousness, and lay flat on his back in a small gully near the contact site. It was just a few minutes before the alert mind of Quetzal picked up on Billy's condition and raced to his aid. He was not surprised that Billy had collapsed. He had been warning him for weeks to protect his health. Now it was too late. Quetzal sensed that Billy was suffering a breakdown of his nervous system and quickly brought him up into the ship. Billy was still unconscious as Quetzal quickly examined his body and internal organs. He was right, Billy was having a nervous breakdown caused by exhaustion and anxiety. Fortunately, Pleiadian science is far beyond our current understanding, and Quetzal immediately knew what to do. As Billy slowly regained consciousness, he looked up at Quetzal, who quickly told him not to speak yet, just relax and he would be okay in a moment. He was passing some small device over Billy's body which was reviving the nervous system and restoring his health. Within minutes Billy seemed much better and was able to sit up and talk. He almost felt normal. The device had somehow repaired the nervous system and balanced the cells of the body, relieving the stress, and pumped energy into his body. Billy felt pretty good actually, and wasn't even aware of what had happened until it was explained to him. Quetzal informed him that he had suffered a nervous breakdown brought on by the problems at the center. It would take 12 to 14 days for the nerves to completely regenerate themselves, but he would be okay. Quetzal moved his ship close to the center and materialized Billy's body into his own bed so he could relax and get some rest. The highly developed consciousness of Quetzal caused Billy to fall into a deep sleep without worry and anxiety so his old friend could heal himself. Quetzal was very concerned because his was a strong indication that Billy could no longer control himself or the FIGU. The contacts end. Once Billy's health had returned, there were only a couple of more contacts with Quetzal, and then on Thursday, October 19, 1978, the final meeting took place. There had been 115 contacts so far, and Billy had accumulated over 1,800 pages of contact notes for the people of Earth to learn from. He had done his best, but it had not been good enough. He had to agree with the council that it was time to end the contacts. He no longer had the strength to deal with all of the problems, and he had not turned out to be a strong enough leader to keep the FIGU in line. Billy left the ship that day for the last time. There would be telepathic communications in the future in order to see how he was, but the physical contacts for the purpose of education for the people of Earth were over. A new vision for Earth. My summer with Billy had opened up my mind to many things. But most importantly, it made me aware of how we need to work together to create our own future. It's one thing for the Pleiadians to come to Earth to help us out. But this is our planet and we have to take care of things for ourselves. I hope from what I have written in this book, you can find in yourself the need to help make the world a better place. We need to do something with as of this information. We need to study it and find ways to make it useful for our people and our planet. Peace is only going to come to Earth when we address the problems of our lives with spiritual understanding. It is time for us all to discover the spiritual bonding that connects all living things together with the creation. Once you can feel this bonding, you are in touch with power that can change anything. Imagine if, for just 1 hour, everyone on Earth bonded together and allowed their spirits to connect in love and understanding. In just that 1 hour we could solve all of the problems that we have. This last chapter is for you and me. Perhaps here in the next few pages I can spark your thinking, and we can come together and find ways to rebuild our world and move into the next century as a peaceful and loving planet where we all can live to our fullest potential. Who knows, we might even get the neighbors to come and visit. Corning together. In the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. there is a small glass case containing a rock from the moon. Each year millions of people crowd around the case and stare at the rock, taking pictures and spending hours in conversation about the excitement of outer space. This simple little piece of rock is not more than 2 inches long and looks no different from any small stone you would find in your backyard, but it's from the moon and carries with it all of the dreams and mystery of the biggest event in our history, contact with outer space. Those dreams are coming face to face with reality, for our contact with the Pleiadians provides us with new mind food to deal with. We have been given an opportunity to see ourselves through their eyes, a view of Earth as we really are, not as we think we are.